Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
Under Armour. Oh yeah, some of you are like, what in the world is that? Okay, I'm hearing it. Some of you guys are like fans of the Olympics. Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian in the history of this world. 28 Olympic medals. 23 of them are gold. Imagine that, 3 silver, 2 bronze. This guy is beast mode all the time. Like Sela in the noodle game, beast mode. Michael Phelps is like 10 times that. So that intensity you felt, you sucked me right off my feet. I didn't think that. It was out of nowhere. I was going in. I was like beast mode. I'm like, John. And it's like, boom. And then I was down for the count. It was crazy. Michael Phelps did not just show up at the Olympics last year and be like, you know what? I think I will be a competitor. He wasn't like, never swam in his life. Didn't just show up and was like, I think I'm going to win me a gold medal. I'm going to compete with the top people in the world. It took years upon years upon years of determination and focus. Determination and focus. He had to dial in on what it is he wanted to achieve in life and discipline himself to do that. And so tonight is the end of the series titled, Are You Thirsty? And so the question tonight is, are you thirsty for focus? Are you thirsty for focus? Because we all have focus in life. We have focus on different things. And when I was your age, my focus was totally different than it is now. And it's totally different than a lot of you's focus in here probably was. I didn't have a focus on school. I didn't have a focus on Jesus. My focus was, how much can I sleep and how much can I hang out with my friends? That was all I cared about. And can I make money doing it? That was usually like, money's a good thing, especially when you grow up and don't have a lot of it. You're like, how can I get some of this stuff? That was my focus. But the problem is, by focusing on wrong things, for thirsting for wrong things, what we end up finding is that we end up hurting ourselves. I had a horrible GPA. My parents were always upset with me about different things I was getting in trouble with. Caused a lot of stress. So was my wrong focus worth my own selfish ambition? No. But what if I would have had a better focus? What if I could have focused on things higher than just my own selfishness? Could have been a totally different game for me throughout middle school and high school. Totally could. I could have had an influence like some of you are having in this room in your school already. I could have made a difference. What's your focus? Are you thirsty for something more? And I think we can all lose focus on things that are important from time to time in our lives. We've all done this, right? Maybe you're a person who your focus is so much about relationships. So much about relationships, it's like, who's the next person? Not even the one you're with now. You're like, who's the next person I can date? Just another one on the chalkboard. You're like, shh. Another one bites the dust, bringing it down. Maybe you just can't be single. You're like, I gotta have this. Maybe you're just obsessive about somebody and like, you're a little too scared to talk about them. Your focus is so much on that relationship or potential relationship. Maybe your focus is your friends. Maybe that's your main drive in life is, I need to have these people around me. So you focus everything and build everything around that. Maybe your focus is your grades, and you're like, I must get into a good college. I must. And it's all that you do. You're like at home. You're like a homework machine. You're like, it's all you do. It's all you do. It's homework. Maybe your focus is just approval. You're always asking people, man, how was that? Was this good enough? What did you think? And it's not about a learning thing. It's about an approval thing. Because if they say, eh, I didn't care for this or that, it like hurts you. And then you like lock yourself in your room for 3 months and don't come out and then grow a big man beard, which is really awkward for you girls. And so don't go there. Are you thirsty for focus? Because we can focus on the wrong things in our lives so often and so easily. I think it's one of the biggest ways that the enemy gets us distracted off of things. Right now, a lot of your focus is dialed in on school. I've started or I'm going to be starting real soon. My focus is let's hit a normal groove. Let's get used to waking up. Let's get used to homework again. But you're losing focus already on the things eternal. The people around you that God has positioned you with influence. You're losing your focus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, we ask that tonight you will help us to thirst for a focus on things above. God, I ask that your word will reveal to us things that we need to work on, things that we need to shift out of our lives so we can dial in on you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, which I know all of you do, I need you to open up to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Now, Paul was a person who wrote Colossians, and he was a guy who truly understood focus. He understood focus. And I can say this because sometimes our perspectives are a little different. We're like, man, my life is so bad. Paul's focus was, okay, this is called a prison epistle. Colossians, it means it was written while he was in jail, chained to Roman guards. And some of you are like, I know how that'd be. My parents don't let me leave the house. Okay, it's totally different. Your parents aren't Roman centurions. You are not in prison in the Middle East during the first century, okay? It's not that bad, I promise. But Paul, in his writings, is in prison, chained to a guard, writing to other churches, churches, some that he planted, some that he had visited, and he's encouraging them to continue in the faith, to focus on something greater than the current problems in front of them. If Paul was writing to you, he would say, I need you to focus in on your school and your area of influence right now. Because some of you are too worried about other things. That's what he's writing here. So in Colossians 2, verse 20, it should be up on the screen, says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belonged to it, do you submit to its rules? And then Paul to give a list of some things that they had wrong focus in during their time. Okay, so he's like, you know, you guys are too worried about Xbox. You're too worried about Twitter and Snapchat streaks and all this other stuff. And then he goes on to the end, verse 23, he says, such things indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sexual indulgence. What pops out to me is it lacks value. It lacks value. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. What I really love about this is just how he's saying, you guys really need to begin to focus in. You need to focus in on who you are. You need to focus in on what your calling is. You need to have a thirst for something more than what you're experiencing now. This is really the heartbeat of what he's getting at. And he says in here, there's two things I want you to get out of these passages tonight to culminate this series together. And the first thing, first main point is since you died. Paul's saying, since you died, you don't have to worry about the world says the standard should be. You don't have to worry about what the world says your GPA should be. You don't have to worry about what the world says your college should be. You don't have to worry about what the world says your friends should look like. You don't have to worry what the world looks like your dating relationship or marriage should look like. He's saying, since you died with Christ, since you died with Christ, Jesus offered his life down for us into death. And through death, we became free from the bondage of this world, free from the bondage of sin. And so as we are in that death of Christ, we find a place of freedom, but too many of us still operate like we're bound by what the world says. And now I experienced this right out of college. And it wasn't like this huge, horrible sin in my life. But what happened is out of college, I had a really good paying job. And I began to look at what the world said I should have. The world said I should have a successful career. The world said I should have a house. The world said I should have really nice things. And so my pursuit began to be, how much overtime can I work? How much money can I make? How much more can I obtain? I was caught up in it because my focus was in the wrong place. I was thirsting for the wrong things. And what happened is when you begin to do that, what do you think Jesus is going to do? He's going to pull out that thing that you don't want to let go of. So for me, he began to call me into full-time ministry, and I was selfish enough to tell him, Lord, I'll do it if you remove me from the job I'm in. Because I said, Lord, I'm not willing to quit it. I've got a full pension. I'm making a lot of money per year. I have nice things. I'm comfortable. And he said, that's easy enough. My job was unfireable, so I thought I was so smart. I was like, can't get fired from this. A week later, lost my job. That's how God works. He will get your attention when your focus is in the wrong place. So why not just look at it like I'm already dead in Christ? Let's just give him the focus and save yourself the pain of trying to go through it. Since you died, you are no longer bound by what the world deems to be success. No longer what the world tells you your focus should be. Second thing I want you to get out of this is it says, since you have been raised with Christ. You know, if Jesus had only died, that's only half of the equation. But the fact that he had raised from the dead means that he rules over dead and that he is victorious over it. That means that's why we have freedom. That's the place that we find it in. And so what's amazing about this is that in being raised with Jesus, we have the freedom to focus on things eternal. He says you died with Jesus, so you no longer are bound by all these regulations, but since you've raised, you have freedom to focus your mind and your heart on things above. Your mind and your heart on things above. What fascinates me about that is how it says the mind and the heart. Two specific areas. Think about that for a second. It's not just like, well, I guess I'll submit my heart, but I'm going to think of other things. Or I'll submit my thoughts, but I'll let my heart long and passion for other things. It's saying because we're alive in Jesus, we can have a focus that will satisfy. We can long for things eternal. Our heart can beat for things more than what this world has to offer because this world will let you down every single time. Since you've been raised. Love that. Since you've been raised. We can be satisfied. We can have a focus. I think back to that video. It says, it's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. It's a powerful thought for a minute. What we do in the dark will put us in the light. We died with Christ and we raised with him. Now it's time for us to set our focus on things eternal. Our focus on things that last, because the material of this world will not. No matter what you can accumulate, no matter how many degrees or friends or statuses you can get, you can't take them with you. But what lasts, what sustains, is that relationship with Jesus and the people that you have shared Jesus with. Those are things that last. Those are things of value. Are you thirsty for focus? And I think tonight there's some of us that haven't quite understood this concept of what we put in the dark puts us in the light. What we do in the dark puts us in the light. What I mean by that is there actions in your life that you haven't yet submitted to Jesus? Because we're dead in Christ, but I think there's some things that we hoard in the dark that we want to keep alive, a little bit separate. But Jesus says all of us. He wants all of us. So maybe it's that, Lord, I'm a little nervous to share you with people at my school. Maybe it's a secret sin. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it is that pursuit of other things. There's so many things that we can hoard to ourselves and not allow to truly die in Christ. And the things that we do in the dark, in those moments when nobody's looking, are what sets the stage for the light. Because it's easy when we're in a room like this and everybody's worshiping to be like, Jesus, I love you. And you're like jumping. You're like, yeah. But what happens when nobody else is? What happens when it's just you alone? Do you pray with the same passion that you do at prayer here? Do you seek the Lord with the same passion? Because what you do in the dark will put you in the light. This is an integrity issue. Since you died with Christ, you have the ability, and you were raised with him, to focus on things eternal. Where is your focus? Are you willing to dial in all areas of your life and submit them to Jesus? You know, and in there, verses 1 and 2 share two different things that I think are really fascinating. One verse says, if we can put that back on the screen, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says that since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. But then verse 2 says, set your minds. It's because your mind influences your heart. We know through Scripture that the heart is deceitful above all else. And Romans 12, 1 tells us to renew our mind, to allow it to be transformed and not to conform to the things of this world. And so we change our hearts by changing our minds, but it starts up here. What you do in the dark puts you in the light. If you want to have a focus like Paul is talking about on things above, it starts with transforming your mind. Because your mind changes your heart. The things you put into your mind shape your heart. The things you watch, the things you hear, the people you hang out with, the things that come in up here shape what's in here. That's why it's so important to set your focus on things above. That's why it's so important the things you do when nobody else is paying attention. When it's just you and it's just the Lord. Those moments define who you are. I want to share something with you. Training your mind is key. Now, Michael Phelps, most decorated Olympian of all time. It's pretty impressive. What most people don't know about him is when he was 7, his parents put him into swim classes, not because they said this kid's amazing in the water. They said he has way too much energy. We need to find some kind of outlet for him to just burn off energy with. And when he went into 6th grade, he was still hyperactive. So they took him into the doctors, and he was diagnosed with ADHD. And what that meant was medications. What that meant was you do not have focus. You can't dial in. He's the same age I am. And with us growing up, if you had ADD, ADHD, it was almost like, it felt like a death sentence academically. Teachers were like, oh, you're one of them. It's like no hope. That's what it felt like. You're like, oh, man. But he had a choice. He could say, I'm going to focus in on what people say I am, or I can focus in on something greater. I can set a goal. I can go for this thing. And you can see what happened. What if Michael Phelps, most decorated Olympian of all time, said, you know what? I don't have the focus to be a good swimmer because I have ADD. It's a good hobby, but I just don't have the focus. The heart's there, but I'll never obtain because of what the world defined me to be, what the world regulated me to be by saying, I've got this issue. Now apply that spiritually. The world says, Your GPA isn't high enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough friends. You're not going to get into the best college. You've got a different career path. You've got different passions. You've got a learning disability. You're not athletic enough. Whatever it is, are you going to allow it to rule you? Or are you going to rule your mind and submit it to Christ because you died with him so you can be free from that stuff and resurrected in him to set your focus on things eternal? What are you thirsty for? What is your focus? What is your focus? It's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. You know, at the end of that video, it said, rule yourself. I kind of want to offer a spiritual tweak on that. Rule your mind by submitting it to Christ. Rule your mind by submitting it to Christ. It's the only way. You're going to get a focus on things that last. Are you thirsty for focus? Everybody can bow their head and close their eyes. Tonight, I just wonder, how many people would be here tonight that would say, Pastor Carl, I haven't had a focus on Jesus at all. Maybe it's been the last couple weeks. Maybe it's been the last couple months. Maybe it's been the last couple years. At one point, you had a relationship with him, you're passionate, your focus was dialed in, but you find yourself not even caring for things of God anymore. And you're realizing tonight you need to refocus. You need to dial in on what it is that Jesus has for you. Or maybe you're here and you've just never given your life to the Lord before. You've never submitted it to his control. There's areas you've been holding back. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, just me and you, you can raise your hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else here? Thank you. Anybody else? A few hands up. Anybody else? It's what we do in the dark that puts us in the light. It's moments like this that we can bring our thoughts into submission, that we can surrender the things we've been holding back from Jesus. We can surrender those to him and allow him to transform us.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.